This is KQEN Local Talk at 4. Every weekday, News Radio 1240 KQEN brings you local information at 4 o'clock. Now, the Mike Winters Lawn and Garden Show from Wintergreen Nursery Landscaping and Florist. Here's the Commissioner of Dirt, Mike Winters, and the Mike Winters Lawn and Garden Show on News Radio 1240 KQEN.
What do you know about that? I think I pushed all the right buttons, huh?
Well, I would hope you pushed all the right buttons. I mean, don't ask me to push any of the right buttons. There's only about 47,000 of them.
Yeah, there are a couple in here.
And I'm sure each one does a different thing.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
It figures.
And none of them are labeled.
I noticed that right off the bat when I started working in the studio with you. Well, thank you today for listening. If you are, I hope you are. Maybe I can impart some knowledge about plants and things like that to you.
Okay.
And if you have any questions, please feel free to call 673-4464. Ask your question, and I'll give you an answer. And more than likely, it'll be correct. And because I've already made all the mistakes that anybody could ever make in 48 years.
Got your quota already.
I got my quota. I'm sure there's another mistake out there, which is waiting for me with my name on it, you know. But
how's the weather outside?
Oh, it's cool. It's nice. It's beautiful. Oh. A little bit of sun, a little bit of clouds.
Yeah.
Perfect day.
Nice.
I like these.
Yeah.
It can rain at night and then have these kinds of days. I'm good with that.
You're set.
I'm good with that. It works really well. So, this is definitely the fall season, I believe.
I believe, yeah.
Yeah, it seems to be more fall each day.
Colder and colder.
Colder and a little bit breezier.
Yeah.
My daughter at the nursery today, my oldest daughter, Jill, she was talking to somebody on the phone, and she was blah, 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 and obviously it was a friend, and I didn't know his name or anything like that, so I'm waiting for her to get off the phone so I can ask her some questions. And finally she gets off the phone and she says, "Do you remember so-and-so?" And I said, "No, I don't." "Well, I went to Douglas with him and he lives in South Dakota right now." I says, "Really?" "Yeah." "And they're in the middle of a blizzard."
"Oh my gosh."
"Yeah." He says they've got 8 inches of snow already and it's snowing like there's no tomorrow and the winds are 50 miles an hour."
Oh my God.
And I thought, whoa, am I thankful that we're here in good old Southern Oregon.
Absolutely.
A blizzard? No, thank you.
No.
That's not my game of what I want to do. Anyway.
I'm thinking 1969. Was that as close as we got to a blizzard? That big snow?
Oh, could have been. Yeah, somewhere in there. But we had a pretty good snow in 77, the fall of 77, because that's when I moved into my house.
Oh.
And the Sunday before Thanksgiving. Our neighbors came up for some coffee, and we walked them out on the front porch, and there's these little kind of white flakes coming down. I thought, oh, that looks like hail or kind of snow. And the next morning I got up and there was 2 feet of snow in my front yard.
mentioned Thanksgiving and bingo, I remember.
Yeah, and then my father-in-law was coming up from Reno to have Thanksgiving with us, and that's what he ran into.
It never snows in Oregon.
No, of course not. fall, and by the way, we are having our fall sale starting next week.
Cool.
And that's why I was going to talk about fall planting. It's an appropriate time. And it's prime time, to plant for several good reasons, and there's probably more than I'll even mention here. But the days are cool, and getting cooler each day, of course, and the soil is moist because of recent rains. It's not the moisture isn't real deep down into the soil, but at least it's not 100 or 99, or something like that. But whatever you might plant, is the watering is not going to be a hassle. You're not going to have to be out there every other day watering stuff like this, because the plants are going into dormancy. They're slowing down and they're losing, trees are losing their leaves and all that kind of stuff. So they're not going to need much care until like maybe next April or May. And even though it's getting cooler and there's less sunlight, the roots are still growing. slowly.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Okay.
The top, the leaves might fall off, and or they turn brilliant colors depending on what kind of shrub or tree you got there. Yeah. But the plant in general is slowing down simply because there's not enough sunlight like there was in June, you know, May, June, July, mm-hmm. August, and it is cooler. And thankfully, I don't think plants like 100 degrees either.
No.
I mean, I don't, yeah. and I'm sure they don't. So, but at any rate. Planting them this time of year is really hassle-free as long as you plant them correctly, maybe give them a good dose of water when you plant, and you're not going to have to water again until maybe next April or May.
That sounds like my kind of plant.
Exactly. And like I say, the roots, even though the plant is dormant, the roots are growing into the surrounding soil, but very slowly. It's not mm-hmm. a springtime thing. But they like to get established, and that's basically what it's doing. It's getting established. So most plants will do better when planting in the fall. I mean, not petunias and not marigolds and flowers and annuals and stuff like that, but, you know, regular shrubs, trees, ground covers, those kinds of things. So, of course, I harp on this. Soil prep is still very important for fall planting. But it's a bit easier to break up the native soil because it's a little bit damper than it was in July and not quite rock hard. Of course, depends on the soil type. If you have a rock base and you only have 4 inches of soil on top, then you got to break through the rock underneath, and the rain doesn't loosen up the rock at all. But even though it's maybe easier to dig, you still need to incorporate your soil amendments like your peat moss, your mulch, topsoil, potting soil, whatever can break up that soil and give it a balanced approach. And it's much easier to do with a damp soil because after the plant is in the ground, you're going to water it once, like I say, with, say, some vitamin B1, which is a root enhancer and gets the roots going. And then maybe you're good until, like I say, April or May, because, we're going to go through November, December, January, February. You got 4 real rainy months.
Yeah.
And even if it quit having a lot of rain by, say, March, that soil will still stay wet, maybe not soaked, but wet, for a couple more months, even until April, maybe even to May. And so you're not going to be a slave to the hose and worrying about, oh, I should give it some more water. Like I say, in the past, all you got to do is feel around the base of the plant, you know, put your fingers in there for about 4 to 6 inches, and if it's damp, it's okay. Don't worry about it.
A-okay.
It's all right. It's not going to die. It'll do all right. But less work, of course, means greater success in the spring than in the spring or the summer. It has a start. It has a 4 or 5 month start, and it's not going to give up the ghost because it's too hot or anything like that. Mm-hmm. And even snow or cold is not going to hurt it because the ground insulates the root systems. I mean, the top leaves might get burned, but that's okay. They grow more leaves all the time.
Are replaceable.
They're very replaceable. The roots are harder to replace than the leaves. So, and like I say, it's you work less at it. It's not as hard to do. You don't work up a great sweat, and you just incorporate your soil amendments so that you have a nice growable soil in there, and you're good to go for months. We have, of course, like I said it earlier, we have one large sale every year and on our plants.
Is it still cash only?
Cash or check. No check. Credit cards or anything like that, because it costs another 5% on top, and I don't want to play that game.
That's crazy.
Yeah, it's crazy. It is. The credit card companies, they make some good bucks, you know?
Oh, yeah, for themselves.
Yeah. Yeah, right. But And we do that the sale in the fall, because I know that when people buy plants, there's folks that are coming in that have never gone to a nursery before, and maybe this is their first time out to plant something in their new yard or replace something in an old yard, whatever. Mm-hmm. And they're going to have a better chance of success of the plant growing when they do it this time of year. You know, now if it got down to minus 20 degrees for a week and a half, all bets are off.
But, oh yeah, on everything.
Yeah, on everything. Yeah, and they'll have more success, and you're gonna have 99% success if you do it this time of year. Now, for vegetable gardens, don't do that. But fall is the time to clean up that garden. Mm. You know, here's all your dead tomato plants or corn plants or pumpkin plants, you know, and I'm naming all the stuff that's in my garden.
Yeah.
That I haven't cleaned up yet, but I'm going to get to it, of course.
Makes a good bonfire.
Yeah, well, I'm just going to, it makes good mulch, too. Put them in a pile and let them rot, then you can work them into your garden later on. It's good stuff to do. But anyway, you clean up that garden now and prep it for next spring. You know, you can till it, you clean all the old plants out and then till it up, put a little bit more mulch in there and till it up again, and it's all set. All you have to do is wait till spring, you know, mid-April or whenever, when the plants start hitting, and put, you're ready to go. You've done all the work.
Sounds like a win-win. You don't have to do anything.
Exactly. Now, if you wait and don't do that, and you wait till next spring, the first thing you're going to face is a whole bed of weeds. Because all those undisturbed soil, and over the course of the fall and the winter, you get new weed seed blowing in there from your surrounding plants and beds and things like that. And the spring comes along, they pop up out of the ground. You go, where did all those weeds come from? Well, if you pre-clean that bed in the fall, you'll have less weeds to contend with to get your spring garden ready to go.
Ah.
It's a time saver. It's easier to do.
Can't win with those stinking weeds.
No, those weeds, they would take over the world in no time at all. But if you... you work in, all the leaves that are falling off the trees now, that once you've tilled up your garden for the fall, and you could put a layer of leaves on top, you know, maybe 4, 5, 6 inches deep if you got enough old leaves, rather than burning them or rather than throwing, you know, taking them to the dump or putting them in a trash can, spread them over your garden. Let them set for the winter, and they'll decompose. Yeah. There's nutrients that are there in those old leaves, and they'll seep into the soil. Mm. And then in the spring, when prior to planting, you re-till it one more time, and you're putting more organic material back into the soil. It's a win-win situation.
I wish my dad would have known that.
Well, bring him in next time. We'll tell him. But that's how you do that. And if you do that year after year after year, pretty soon you've got a garden that's almost all mulch.
didn't take much effort either.
No, it doesn't. And it's full of nutrition from the old decomposed leaves or grass clippings or anything like that that you work into it is going to improve your soil. Hmm. And if it improves your soil, it improves your garden production.
Right.
More and better tomatoes, potatoes, or peppers, or whatever you like. Mm-hmm. And it does a good job. A well-composted garden soil is going to be healthy and not become compacted. And compaction is one of the bigger pain in the necks when you think you've got everything ready to go and you go to plant it, but you hadn't worked it the prior fall. Mm. You know, the ground gets a little hard. Unless it's a raised bed that you filled with good stuff, but if it's in the ground, it recompacts with the rain and things, and we primarily have clay soil, so consequently it's a little hard, and you got to work a little harder to get it ready for that year's produce.
Nobody wants that.
No.
Can we take a break here?
If you have to, yes.
All right.
Got to pay some bills.
Absolutely. One of those obscene commercial breaks or whatever they call it.
You take credit cards?
Costs too much.
I know.
We'll be right back with more of Mike Winter's Lawn and Garden Show here on News Radio 1240 KQEN.
This is KQEN Local Talk at 4 on News Radio 1240 KQEN.
Well, as promised, we are back.
We are back, and I hope you're ready for your questions, because all you have to do is call 673-4464 and hit me with your question, and I will answer it.
Hit me one more time, baby.
673-4464.
Britney Spears just popped into my head.
Why?
Hit me one more time, or whatever of her songs was. I don't remember either, but it was something like that.
All right. Anyway, I'm talking about getting your vegetable garden ready for next spring by doing most of the work now, you know, cleaning it and tilling it and preparing it and adding more mulch and those kind of things, and not waiting for the weeds that are going to come back like gangbusters because you didn't do any of the work in the fall. You know, it's a lot of work to clean those stupid weeds out, and it seems like always there anyway. Now, the other point of fall cleanup is your lawn. Your lawn is really growing fast, and you can't mow until it dries out. I know that, but
you can try.
And by then, you know, the lawn is 6 inches tall, and it takes two or three mowings to get it back down to a reasonable level. And then because you had so much grass there, it's kind of yellowish. So you have to fertilize it to green it up, and of course, when you fertilize it, it's gonna you know, get more energy to grow again.
Yep.
But if you stay on top of that as well, and mow it short. You know, I'm not a proponent of mowing lawns real short during the growing season, but in the fall, that's okay, because you don't want to mess with it. As it gets colder, and wetter and rainier, it grows a bit slower. So if you got it cut short, it's not going to be a jungle in the spring when spring rolls around. And we'll have, even in November and December, January, there'll be a day or two where you can actually get out there if it grows. Mm-hmm. Keep it short. And you don't have to start worrying about the shortness of it until, you know, March, April again. Okay. And then you can fertilize, you know, fertilize in March, and it'll start to green up, and then you raise the blades and keep it a little bit longer. You might have to mow a little bit more often, but it will work. It will do a good job, and it won't be too yellow all winter long. We had a client we installed a sod lawn for earlier this summer. Mm-hmm. And he had, he had somebody, I don't know who it was, mowing it, and they were not mowing it correctly. It was not being edged, and it was turning yellow. Oh. And and I do drive-bys after we do a job just to make sure everything's okay.
Right.
And if it's not, I usually stop and tell the homeowner or call him. And his lawn was getting, you know, we put a nice sod lawn in. I mean, it was beautiful when we put in. It was beautiful for about 6 weeks until this other non-professional.
Yahoo.
Well, not Yahoo. Non-professional younger person was mowing, but they didn't know how. Yeah. They didn't know the proper way or the proper height or any of that. So he finally called us and says, "Mike, you have time to fit me in to mow my lawn?" And I said, "Yeah, we'll figure it out. We'll figure it out." And I told my guys, and you know, maybe half an hour. Two guys go over there, half an hour. They've mowed and edged, and you know, they're done. So it was a reasonable charge for him, and it looked a whole lot
better.
Yeah. So now the next time we mow, which will be probably this week. I'm not sure what day of the week they do it, but probably this week or at the beginning of next week, one of the two. After we mow it, we will lightly fertilize it, because it's got a little bit of a yellow tinge or light green tinge to it. Well, we don't want it to totally yellow up in case we get really cold weather. We want it to be strong. So we'll give it maybe a half a dose of a fertilization so that it stays greens up, but it doesn't have a spurt of growth. That's you just kind of have to play it by ear and get the feel for it. And you know, we've only done that 10,000 times, so we kind of know how to do it. But it was really, really good. And within 2 weeks, the thing the lawn was green again.
Nice.
Yeah, and so he was pleased, and that's all that counts. When you work with people and you produce results for them, they go, oh yeah, it looks good. Thank you. Keep doing it, will you?
Yeah, sure. Yeah. Come on.
All
back.
Right. If we have to. He says, don't worry about the rest of the yard because he's got a lot of plants in there and shrubs and a few trees and a lot of mulch, but he has a little lawn in the back and a larger one out in the front, and you know, that's what people see when they drive by. And
yeah.
And if he ever wants to sell it, you want to make sure you're, you know, the greener the lawn in a house that's for sale, the quicker it sells. I mean, and that's a nationwide thing.
It's not just Oregon.
No, it's not just Oregon. I mean, I get all these books, all these magazines, you know, professional magazines, landscaping, nursery magazines, and there's articles from realtors that say those very things.
Mm-hmm.
When buyers are looking for a home and they pull up to a home that has a shaggy appearance, they're, you know, a little reluctant to deal with it. But if they pull up to a home and the lawn is green and trimmed and the shrubs are trimmed, they like it. That's their first impression.
Changes the whole attitude.
The whole attitude. Then there's not much negotiation that has to be take place that way.
And that's a good thing.
Yeah, that's a good thing. That's what you want. But at any rate, you can prune some of your shrubs now, too, the ones that put out the wild branches, and you're not going to hurt them. Prune them, shape them back to where they, you know, the size you want, and they'll do well, and they'll just sit there, and new growth will come next spring just as sure as your fingernails grow. And just don't let them grow, don't let them go unpruned through the winter, because if, say they got 2 feet of extra growth on them right now, and you don't prune them, and then in March or April they start growing again, pretty soon you got 3 or 4 extra feet of growth, and then you're afraid to prune because it's spring and they're growing too much and they're blooming. And so if you do a light pruning job now and again in the spring, it's fine. It'll work. But don't let all this yard work pile up and you're waiting for spring to tackle the yard, because then, you know, if you have a large yard, we're just working here every day after work and the weekends, and we're, you know, it's taken so long. Well, if you do this fall stuff, it cuts that workload by about 50%.
Nice.
Come spring.
That's what we're aiming
but
for.
But people don't think of it that way. Not a lot of folks, but there's some out there that are on top of it. But a lot of folks go, yeah, especially with a new yard, especially with a brand new house and the landscaping's done, and you go, wow, it's beautiful, and it's great, and then it rains and you forget about it, and then it stopped raining in March or April, and you go, wow, what happened? Look at all this. Where did all that growth come from?
Look at that, Martha.
Yeah. Oh, gosh. Yeah. Well, at this point in our fall weather pattern, the weather guessers are calling for temperatures. They were calling for temperatures down in the 20-degree range, and I don't know who was doing that, but I heard that last week, and I thought, 20 degrees? Come on. It did get down to 34 here this last week at my house, but 20s? Nah.
I don't think that's even in the forecast.
You don't. I'm not accusing Kyle of anything here.
Well, let's go ahead and do it.
Okay, Kyle predicted it. But Kyle said one day after he was given a weather report, he says, I prefer the 90s. I love the 90s. And I thought, Kyle, I hate the 90s.
I think he'd like to live in Hawaii.
Yeah, I think he did. He liked it. He liked his vacation, didn't he? Yeah, but even in Hawaii, it'll get down to 60 in the winter.
Oh, is that right?
Yeah, and they're freezing. They're wearing coats, man.
It's cold.
Yeah. Oh, gosh. But anyway, to help your plants survive, you know, if it does drop really cold, to help your, especially your potted plants, you give them a good douse of water, because that'll insulate the root systems and keep them from dying. It acts like an igloo effect, and the ice will form around the roots, but it won't kill the roots. But if the cold is long term and intense, it will protect them.
Oh,
I know.
Gotcha.
Yeah. When I first heard about that years ago, I thought, that doesn't make any sense to me.
Yeah.
But it does. I've done it, and it really works. But It'll help to keep those roots from getting super damaged if they have a water insulator surrounding them. And they could, you know, they'll damage the plant. If you don't do that, your plants will be damaged slightly, or even if it's colder and longer, it could kill some of them.
But that's not good.
But potted plants are susceptible to that more so than those in the ground, because you got the ground that insulates.
Oh yeah.
It's okay. Now, if you have hanging baskets with blooms, this would be a good time to bring them indoors.
Okay.
And indoors can be in your living room or it can be in the garage, you know, maybe not the living room, but maybe a spot in the garage with a window, because they're going to continue to live, and they need light. Even though it's wintertime, they still need some light. So if you have a garage with some windows, you could make a shelf in there and put your indoor plants that you normally keep outside, or hanging baskets that you normally keep out. You can keep them there, and they'll survive the winter there. They'll kind of curl up a little bit and look a little, but it won't be freezing inside that garage. Even if it's not a heated garage, they'll still have enough warmth that it won't kill the plant.
Keeps them out of the weather, so to speak.
Yeah, and they won't be under the weather.
The weather, yeah.
but if you have some like patio plants, let's say you had some nice things on your patio in smaller pots, and that you don't have any room in the garage, bring them in the house. Put them by the one of the living room windows, and let them rest there for the winter, and they'll survive, and they'll look good come spring. You might want to prune them back a little bit, as well as keeping them damp. And just kind of a small haircut there. It doesn't hurt. Less stress for the plant that way. And if you don't have a window, hey, maybe a light. One of the plant lights or something that you can buy at a box store and have put the light on it for a few hours every day so that they can function, so they can do the photosynthetic process and eat.
Like a black light.
Yeah, black light. I don't know about a black light. I think a sun lamp.
Oh, gotcha. Okay.
You know, something that's not going to burn them, but it's nice and bright. And there's kits you can buy. If you look on the internet, I'm sure it's full of stuff like that. You look under greenhouses and you'll see the type of lighting that's available. Mm-hmm. We don't light our greenhouses in the wintertime, simply because we got the natural light, because they're plastic and the rays comes through. And since our greenhouses are plastic, there's a special plastic sheeting that you put on a greenhouse, but it actually is warmer in an unheated greenhouse than it is right outside the door of that unheated greenhouse by about maybe 5 or 6 degrees.
It does make a difference.
Exactly. So if it's 30 degrees outside, it's usually 38, 37 inside, even without heat, simply because it traps that heat in there with a little bit of sun.
Yep.
But we do have a heating system, and we turn that on. Maybe next month we'll turn that on, just to keep things from freezing if we have a downturn in the temp. And then we start doing our cuttings for plant materials for next year, and then we have hot water under the plants, hot water that keeps the beds warm and promotes root growth.
It's kind of like a blanket.
Exactly. Yeah.
All righty. We got to take a break.
Another break. Okay.
Catch our breath and drink some water, and we'll be right back.
What water?
Oh, it disappeared. Okay. We'll be back. Couple of minutes. Mike Winter's Lawn and Garden Show. And you, call us. 673-4464.
Very good. You remembered that after a few years.
Yeah. News Radio 1240 KQEN.
This is KQEN Local Talk at 4 on News Radio 1240 KQEN.
Alrighty, Mike Winters, Lawn and Garden Show, that's what this is.
And it's 673-4464 if you have a question about any of your yard or garden or trees or anything like that. Ask the question and I'll give you an answer. Guarantee it'll be right.
He's the man.
Well, sometimes I'm wrong.
No.
Yeah, I was wrong. 14 years ago, I remember I was wrong.
Really?
Yeah.
Don't want to go into it, huh?
No, I don't want to go there.
Okay.
Anyway, I've been talking about having your garden survive and your potted plants survive over the winter and that kind of thing. And I was just kind of beginning to talk about our flowers at the nursery. We have, right now, it's not been that cold. So all of our flowers are and hanging baskets are, still out. But over the next couple of weeks, depending on the weather, I watch the weather very closely. Mm-hmm. And over the next several weeks, we'll begin to move them into the greenhouse for the winter. And there's, very little heat, as I said earlier, unless the sun comes out. And then it's amazing how quickly that greenhouse will heat up. You go, geez, Louise, did somebody leave the heat on in there? we're using natural gas, and that's a spendy little item. So we don't want to use too much of that. But even on the coldest nights, our greenhouse where we keep these plants gets down to about 39 degrees, and that doesn't get any lower.
Wow.
And that's without heat. That's just
without heat.
Yeah, because when you get 1,000 plants in there, they're creating their own heat too.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah, and so if the sun comes out for a couple hours, that greenhouse heats up, and the plants are a bit more active, and then that heat will stay in there. Not all of it, but most part of it will stay in there, and so. And I've checked it on really cold days where the temperature was like 30 or 28 outside the greenhouse, and it was 39 inside the greenhouse.
Wow. Move over, I'm moving in.
Yeah, but and it a couple of times has dropped a little bit lower, and then we just punch the button and get the fans going. Uh-huh. And as long as there's air circulation and you've got some warmth going through it, everything stays alive. Everything is okay. They're just kind of in a semi-dormant state. they're not growing real fast. But
well, that's amazing. I did not know they produce their own little heat.
Oh yeah, yeah, they will. Hmm. But like I say, it's warm enough to keep the plants alive, and as long as it doesn't get to the freezing point, 30 degrees inside there, which it never has done in all these years that we've done this, you're good to go. So if you have a little small greenhouse at home, put your plants in there, maybe a little space heater or something like that, and they'll stay good. They'll stay good till next spring. Now,
wow.
The indoor plants, switching around here to indoor plants, they're fairly easy to grow, but you have to inspect them through the winter and not forget them.
That's easy to do.
Yeah, it is. You put the plant over on the windowsill and just kind of, it looks okay, but you never get down there closely and look at it and see, any bugs in here, or why are the leaves turning funny colors? Why they're not green anymore? They're kind of yellow. What's that mean? Well, that's what I'm going to talk about here for the last segment. There, some of the symptoms of poor health you have to be aware of. For instance, if the leaves are spotted brown or yellow spots, it may be that the heat is too high where they're at. Could be the soil. Could be too dry or too wet. You lose both ways. You don't win.
No happy medium.
Right. Or maybe not enough fresh air. In other words, there's very little air circulation.
Yeah.
And air circulation is very important. And to test the soil, you stick your finger in the pot and, it's wet, or it's too wet, or it's bone dry. And you just take corrective action from there. In other words, too wet, don't water it anymore for a while, let that puppy dry out.
Give it a rest.
Because those roots are suffering, and consequently, you see the suffering come up in the leaves. And whether it's dry or wet, you'll see the first indicators, the leaves are turning a funny color, or they're getting dark spots, or they're crinkling up, or just prematurely falling off.
Yeah.
And so you just check your soil. you know, like I say, get down there and dig a little bit, maybe 2 inches, that's all. Maybe 3 inches on the side of the pot and see if there's any more. If it's damp, you're okay. Keep it damp. Nothing more than damp. And check it every week. Check it every other couple of weeks farthest time there. And like I say, if it's too wet, stop your weekly watering. I've killed plants I killed my orchid that I bought for my wife years ago. Beautiful orchid, and it was in a small pot, and I thought, well, I'll just water that puppy. And so about once a week I was giving it a shot of water, and pretty soon all the leaves fell off of it. And one of the stems died. It had multiple stems. I thought, what the heck did I do?
So
we just left it on the windowsill, big wide windowsill, and got plenty of light. And 6 months, nothing. And I looked over one day, and I saw new leaves on it.
Mm.
It hadn't been watered in 6 months. And nothing had happened. Dust had gathered all over it. And I went, look at your plant, Marianne. She says, yeah, you stopped watering it so it could live. So now she takes care of it. I thought, well, a beautiful plant like that with a beautiful flower, and it's in, a real small pot, it would need more water. But nah.
No.
And I did a show on orchids here, a month or so ago. They grow, some of them will grow in swamps, and some of them grow in the tundra, for crying out loud. And some of them grow in the desert.
Yeah.
Yeah, and okay.
It's kind of like a cactus.
Right. Live and learn, everybody. Yeah, cactus is another one. Boy. But, one other way, when you're watering, sometimes the leaves will get spotted because the water's too cold.
Oh.
Yeah. And
temperamental little thing.
Exactly. It's too cold on the roots. Ooh, well, there's a reaction there. It's harmful. So try lukewarm water.
Mm.
Just not hot, lukewarm, just gentle. Like not quite what you take a bath in, but a couple of notches back from that.
Yeah.
Mm. Now, if you have leaves that are actually dropping off, most likely it's too cold or too wet. The water was too cold when you watered it, and it was too much when you did water it, so it had too much cold water. You give it a double whammy there, and the thing's going, what are you doing? Leave me alone. If they could talk, they'd scream at you.
Yeah.
Then check your fertilizer. A little bit goes a long way. Don't overdo it, especially in the winter. Don't overdo it on Miracle-Gro or whatever plant food that's your favorite that you find wherever you find it.
Yeah.
Just in the winter, maybe once a month, a slight liquid fertilizer. Not the granular type on indoor plants, but that way the liquid type gets down there into the roots, and the plant can actually use it. And as long as you go light on that, you're not going to damage it. So you're good to go. But again, if you say, well, it calls for 1 tablespoon a gallon, so I think I'll put 3 tablespoons a gallon just to make sure.
Make sure it's going to be better.
Yeah, wrong. You pour it in, and a week later, it's all brown and going and quivering. Yeah. Oh, gosh. Uh-oh. And then one thing you don't want to do is put your indoor plants near a heat source. Like if you have wood heat or some kind of a heater that really warms up your house. I have forced air electric, but I have a wood stove that really keeps it nice. And the forced air electric is only on to recirculate the wood heat, actually, and the whole house stays really warm with that. But when on the other end of the house where the orchid was, it's cooler over there by 2 or 3 degrees, maybe 4 degrees, and that seems to be the happy medium. They love it now. So I bought another orchid, and we got it on the other side of the window. So
they talk to each other.
Yeah, they're happy and says, "Hey, this guy finally learned how to take care of us. we're good to go. He tried to kill me, but I came back." But keep them away from any heat source. It's really going to be too warm for them. They're not going to do that. Now, if the houseplant isn't growing very much, don't panic. Maybe it's resting. They do rest.
Well, do they?
It's wintertime. I mean, they're just kind of maybe sleeping. I don't know. But they're hibernating. I don't know. But we all need to rest. And if they, the spring comes, they grow. The summer comes, they're growing. Well, the natural cycle of things. Here it is, darker, wetter, colder, and all that. they need to rest, and they're still alive. They're okay, but they're storing their energy up for the spring break. Okay, yeah, it's
like we all do.
Yeah, so and if the leaves on these things are dry and crumbling,
it
may be that the heat is too high where you have it. It could be too much water, you know, any of those things. So you have to move your plants around until you find a happy medium where they're really doing well. And then when you find that spot, leave them there. don't mess with them, except maybe put them outside in the summertime or something like that. Oh, gosh.
Speaking of which.
What?
We got to take a nice warm break.
A break?
Last one.
I'm not done talking.
I know. You know how it is.
I know.
All right.
You radio guys.
More of Mike Winter's Lawn and Garden Show in just a couple. News Radio 1240 KQEN.
This is KQEN Local Talk at 4 on News Radio 1240 KQEN.
Well, that sounds like an idea. Let's go to Mexico, Mike.
Okay. How about Cabo San Lucas? That's a nice place.
Yeah, I've never been. I haven't really been out of Oregon much.
Well, just get on an airplane, put your mask on, and go.
I'm vaccinated, see?
Yeah, see my card. I made it myself.
Yeah. Right off the old internet.
Oh, golly.
Oh, Lordy.
Anyway, I'm talking about indoor plants and how to keep them alive and healthy through the winter. And get to the point where if the leaves are wilted, then it needs a drink. I was talking about overwatering in the last segment. Yeah. Well, if the leaves are wilted, that means they're limp. And they're hanging down. They don't look natural. They don't look vibrant. They're wilted. It needs a drink. Don't give it too much all of a sudden. Just a little bit, a little bit, a little bit until they, within hours, you'll see a difference in the leaf structure. That's how quickly you can correct the problem.
That is quick.
Yeah, it is. Now, if the plant is leggy, in other words, it's got long branches and there's a few leaves and that kind of thing, there's a couple of things. It probably needs more light. Maybe it's in a dark corner and stretching for the light. You see, because that limb growth will go toward the light. Mm-hmm. And there might be a couple of leaves on the end, but there's no leaves on the whole stem.
I think I've seen that.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. You see it all over the place.
Yeah.
There's a couple things you do. Give it more light, and then prune it back a little bit. Prune it, shorten it up so it doesn't have to work so hard at living. And, you know, all indoor plants require different growing conditions. You know, just like anything that you plant in your yard, they're not all the same
caliber,
same size, yeah. Same wants, same water, same this. You have to learn about them, read something, experiment, buy some cheap ones so if they die, you'll know what you did wrong. And then when you finally get on and say, oh, yeah, that one has lived now for 6 months, apparently I'm doing things right. So you've got a baseline from which to work.
Yep.
You know, I've killed my share, and that's the best learning process you can have. And they just grow differently. Now, if you're just starting with indoor plants, begin with the tough ones that are easy to grow. Jade plants are easy, and don't require constant care. You know, you can neglect them puppies forever, and they just grow. And you maybe water them, you know, once every couple of weeks, maybe.
Oh, okay.
You know, that kind of thing.
I thought you were going to say a couple of years.
Yeah, well, maybe. I don't know about that, but but they need some light, a little bit of water from time to time, and some liquid fertilizer in the spring and the summer, and they just grow. I mean, they're just a neat little plant. No muss, no fuss, and they can get up to about 3 feet tall if they're in a pot that will accommodate that kind of a root system. And I know because I've grown a couple that large just to see if I could. But and they were at least 3 feet tall and 3 feet wide. But it also has small white flowers in the summer. And you can take it outside, put it on the deck or a patio for the summer, you know, with some morning sun, afternoon shade. You don't want to put them in the hot, boiling sun in the middle of 3 o'clock afternoon on a 100-degree day up against the house or something that. They're not gonna look good. But you know, morning sun, afternoon shade would be a perfect situation, and they'll love it. And then when it starts getting cooler, you bring it in the house. You can prune it back a little bit and bring it in the house. I've taken some and made them into bonsai plants, and they're kind of the stems are kind of gnarly anyway, and they're kind of twisty, and they look like something that's exotic.
Yep.
You know, in the stores, when you see them in the box stores, especially, they're kind of a rounded little pretty plant in a little pretty pot. But I like to prune them and open them up so to see the branching structure, because they're not like straight smooth branches. They'll curve a little bit. They'll have little bumps and knots on the stems, and if you open that up, you can see the whole beauty of the plant. So that's how I do it.
I'm thinking of a cabbage plant, kind of.
A cabbage plant. No, a jade has a small green leaves that are real thick.
Yeah, well, I was thinking they kind of look like that.
Well.
No?
I don't think so.
I guess I've been smoking too much.
Yeah, I don't.
I'm kidding, folks.
Don't. they like well-drained potting soil and a little bit of fertilizer about three times a year would be maximum. And use a liquid fertilizer for indoor plants for your best results. And you can grow new plants from a jade by simply cutting off a leaf or tearing off a leaf and sticking it in some potting soil. It'll grow its own roots.
Wow.
And
okay.
that's how they have little babies. You could pick up 50% of your leaves and put them in little tiny pots, and I would say 90% of them will grow.
Wow.
Yeah. With no muss, no fuss. It's easy. Then another easy plant is a globe cactus. It's another no-brainer type, don't water it, that kind of thing. It's called cactus. Okay, it's very hardy, an indoor plant. Freezing conditions will kill the jade or the cactus, the globe cactus. But it's small, and it's globe-shaped. And like I say, easy to grow, and it grows in the wild, like in Mexico and the desert areas and stuff like that. Has short yellow spines, and in the summer it has purple red flowers. Are we done?
We are done.
I'm not done.
I know.
What are they doing that for?
Boy, it went quick, didn't it?
Okay, well, we'll talk about indoor plants again next week, and I'll have some more easy ones for you to grow. Thank you for listening.
Oh, you got your sale going on.
Oh, yeah, that starts next, gee whiz, Monday.
Monday,
yes,
all right.
Next Monday it starts. Goes for the whole week, 50% off.
Nice. Wintergreen, Mike Wintergreen's nursery.
Yeah, Wintergreen Nursery Landscaping Florist, Highway 99, just south of Winston.